Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. What did Jesus tell the church on the first day of the church? This is the class participation portion of the... What did he tell them to do?
Follow me and I will make you fishers of men.
I will... make you fishers of men. And what is the condition of that? What's the prerequisite? What's the requirement to be made a fisher of men?
Follow.
Now we've looked at this in several different ways. If you follow Jesus, what will happen? He'll make you a fisher of men. If you're not following Jesus, What's going to be the effect? You won't be a fisher of men. So if we're not being a fisher of men, what is that telling us? We're not following Christ. Because if we're following Christ, He'll make us a fisher of men. Run that up on a Sunday morning and see how receptive the church is on that idea. Because everybody will be there with their guessing at best, and they're all following God and doing their just wonderful stuff. Then ask them to stand up, all those who witness to somebody, anybody, during the whole week. And you're going to find very few stand up. If you follow Jesus, He will make you a fisher of men. Now notice what happens here. If you follow Him... He'll enable us to witness. He will give us the means, the ability to witness. If we follow Him, He'll labor with us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
You have a correction on your number 2.
Okay.
He's not laboring with us, we are laboring with Him.
Okay. Well said. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse number, start in verse number 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? The ministers by whom we believe, even as the Lord gave unto every man. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth, and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive of his own reward according to his own labor. We are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. We are laborers with God. If we follow Him. If we follow Him, we labor together with God. Think about that. He enables us when we follow Him. When we follow Him, we're laborers with Him. Who's carrying the load on this? Is it our ability? Our Bible knowledge? Our persuasion? Who's carrying the load? Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We can't do any spiritual fruit bearing. All we can do is plant and water. A farmer cannot produce a crop. Think about that for a second. A farmer cannot produce a crop. All he can do is plant and water. All he can do is till and weed, but the production is of God. We take way too much on ourselves. If we follow, we enter into his labor with him. He's the one carrying the load. All we gotta do is plant water. Now, if we follow, we'll have power. We'll have power. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Acts 1 and 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and in the utmost part of the earth. When would they be witnesses?
After you receive power.
After
you receive the Holy Ghost.
They receive power after that they got the Holy Spirit as comforter. They'd be witnesses after they got power. And we've looked at this word power before. That word power is where we get the word dynamite at. It's explosive, life-altering. If we follow him, we'll have power. What can the Word of God do? Sharpen any two-edged sword. Dividing asunder of what? Is that powerful? And who wields it? The Spirit. And where are we at? We've got the Holy Spirit. We've got power. We're laboring with him because he's enabled us, because we simply followed him. All we are just vessels. All we got to do is start getting out there and trying. Open your mouth. Say something. Do something. Oh, by the way, Brother Dixon, I need to talk to you. I think you guys need to put me as a home missionary.
Full time?
Well, I wouldn't mind it. But the last three people I've had really good discussions with, got really good into the Bible with, lived in Corvallis, Albany, and this last time, Brownsville.
Well, you need to do a little better, because none of them have come.
All I can do is point at my water. Can't you water a little?
I did have a woman call me from Brownsville today, though, and wants to send me some information for a ladies' study. So
I do what I can. You're making me have flashbacks to a BTC class many moons ago. So, we have all this. Look at Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, verse 49. And behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Until you become what? Endued. What does it mean to be endued?
Given to, enlightened upon.
You're actually right on top of it, brother. Good analysis there. It comes from the word enduo. It means to be clothed upon or put on. You know, like put on the new man. We'll receive power when? When we're clothed upon with power. This power is not inherent in us. It's given to us to be clothed with it. How do we get that?
Well, look at Romans chapter 13. Verse number 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. That word put on is in duo. Let us put on the armor of light.
How do we get this power? When we put on. We get the power when we put on, when we're clothed, according to verse 12, the armor of light. The armor of light. What does that mean? What does it mean to put on the armor of light?
What's that?
The whole power of God.
Okay. Look at verse number 13. Look at 12 and 13. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof.
When we follow Jesus, he'll make us a fisher of men. He'll give us power when we put on. Jesus Christ. What does it mean to put on Jesus Christ?
Behave as he behaved, walk as he walked, in the motivation that he was motivated by.
Good. Good. Brother Roger.
Give you one verse, Matthew 6:33. Give you another one in the Old Testament, as for me and my house will serve the Lord. And that from the heart, not from the head.
It's all the Bible we need.
Determination. That's it. That's all we need to put on Jesus.
Yep.
Because if we don't put him first, we're wasting our time. If we do good works in order to appease his wrath, we're not doing anything.
You missed a Jeremiah Johnson correlation. You need to watch that movie again.
I have several times.
Apparently I missed it too, because I have no idea what that is about
Jeremiah. Yeah, I missed it too. I spent my week studying the Bible. I wasn't watching Jeremiah Johnson much. We get power when we put on Jesus Christ. See how simple this is? If we follow Jesus, I'll make you a fisher of men. How does that happen? He enables us. He labors with us. He gives us power. He gives us Holy Spirit. How do you get this? When you put on Jesus Christ. What was the most important thing to Jesus?
His Father's business.
His Father's business. And what was that? To seek and to save that which was lost. When we put on Jesus, his mind will be our mind. Can we have the mind of Christ?
Yeah.
Is that really possible? Isn't that brazen to think that we could have the mind of God? Or we know Philippians chapter 2 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he's talking about being humble. Well, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
Look at verse number 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. You know, there's that old WWJD, what would Jesus do? It's not that complicated. Those that follow Jesus, and I'm not talking the religious, I'm not talking the so-called Christians, I'm talking about the dedicated, faithful disciples. Do they know the mind of Christ? And how could you know the mind of Christ?
By the Word.
By the Word.
By the Spirit, through the Word.
By the Spirit, through the Word. It all begins to dovetail. So what's the secret to witnessing? It's simply following Jesus. That's it. If you follow Jesus, his desires will be your desires. You'll want to talk to people. You'll look for ways to talk to people. You'll yearn to talk to people about him. And he'll enable you to do it. He'll labor with you to do it. He'll give you the power to do it. And you'll have the Holy Spirit to work with you doing it. Just open your mouth. All we've got to do is open our mouth. And it will pay off. Every one of us is here because somebody witnessed to us. It may have been your folks, but somebody witnessed to them. I don't know any of us that can trace our roots all the way back to the church at Jerusalem. And every one of our family members were faithful all the way back. Most of us are only one or two generational missionary Baptists. Somebody got a hold of us or our parents, or in some blessed cases, our grandparents. But most of us came with somebody who opened their mouth, stayed with it, who was following Jesus, and he enabled them, labored with them, gave them the power and the Holy Spirit, so that when they worked with us, his word got a hold of us and it changed our lives. All we got to do is the same thing, Brother Johnny.
And yes, we have to do that, but it needs to be generous.
Oh, no, I don't get confused about generous. All we got to do is just do it. If it's not from the heart, if it's not sincere, it don't mean nothing. If I have not love, it's nothing. What's the secret to bringing your sheaves with you? Sowing in tears. That simply means that you are so earnest about reaching that soul that it's not a game to you. It's not, oh, I've made a determination, I'm going to witness to two people this week, and you're number two. It's that you're so earnest about reaching that particular soul, you'll lose sleep. You'll shed tears. You'll do whatever you can possibly do. What did Jesus do to reach the lost? What's that?
Give them truth.
From where? His heart. He sacrificed his life. And just not on the cross of Calvary. Remember when he was in Samaria? He sat down by the well. He had this wonderful discourse with the woman. The woman leaves to say, come see a man who told me all things ever I have done. And then the disciples catch up with him. And they say, Master, have you ate? And what did he say?
Meat that you know not of.
Yeah. My meat is to do the will of the Father. And don't say there's yet 3 months. The fields are white already unto harvest. His focus, when you follow Jesus, your focus will be on what he focused on, and that will make you a fisher of men. This is not rocket science. This is not the secret code. How many times, I can't tell you the number of times I've had church members tell me, I'm not outgoing. That's for others to do. You know, my part in church is to clean the building and pray for those that go out, because I'm not outgoing. Where does it say you have to be outgoing? He gives us a command. Go. Go. Who's that applied to?
Everyone.
Preachers. Heads of houses. Women.
Every member of a local body.
Every member. Every single member has the ability to be a fisher of men, to be enabled to do it, to labor with God to do it, to have the power to do it, to have the Holy Spirit working with you. We are just simply vessels. That's all we are. That's all we are. Just a vessel. Vessel for what? The Holy Spirit to be used. To be used of the Holy Spirit. We don't need to know the Roman road. We don't need to know the Niagara Falls story. All we need to do is follow Jesus. And what does that mean? Put on Jesus. All we've got to do is put on Jesus. Well, let's look a little further into this. By the way, before we leave that, look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse number 27. But as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So, you put on Jesus. Where does that putting on begin at? It begins at baptism. Why is baptism and church membership always combined? Because people aren't baptized to be set free to do whatever they want. Christ wasn't set free to do whatever he wanted. He did it inside a local New Testament church. His ministry was inside a local New Testament church. Putting on Christ begins with baptism. Church membership begins there. No wonder the world has to phony things up. We got to get a big band in. We got to get a big show in. We got to wave our hands. We got to stomp our feet. We got to do all kinds of things. Why? Because they're not enabled by God. God's not working with them. God doesn't give them any power, and they don't have the Holy Spirit. But he gave all this to us. And it began when we got baptized. We put on Christ. Began with baptism. Began to equip us. But notice what else it does. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. To start at here. Start in verse 16. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. What does that mean?
Chasing after, walking after empty or vain things.
Exactly. I am the greatest.
Yeah.
Chasing after vain money, chasing after vain glories.
Confidence in what you know, in your physical mind.
Yeah.
In your education.
Yeah. All of that. All of that. Fame, fortune, glory, power. Paul had it all. Said, if you want to boast in the flesh, you want to boast in the flesh, I can boast in the flesh. Born of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and he listed the pedigree. He could boast. Says, but I count it as dumb that I may win Christ. Now he's telling the church here, don't henceforth walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Who is this written to? Church members. You haven't learned Christ like this. We're not to be lascivious, working uncleanness, greediness. We're not to walk in the vanity of our minds. You have not learned Christ like that. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How can you be renewed in the spirit of your mind?
By the word.
By the word. How do you follow Jesus? You get into the word. You put off the old man, the old ways. You put off the old man and the old ways. You put off the old man and the old ways. It's a dog-eat-dog world. You got to do what you got to do.
Yep.
Nobody gave me a handout. I just got to do everything. God's working with you now. God's working with you now. You don't have to follow what the world follows. You don't have to follow what the world follows. You've not learned Christ like that. You don't have to go after lasciviousness. You don't have to be greedy. You don't have to lie, cheat, steal. Focus on Christ. How do you do that? By renewing the spirit in your mind. Now look at this. And that you put on, there's that endued, enduro word, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You put on the new man. We get power when we put on Jesus Christ. What do we do? How are we putting on? How's that demonstrated? By putting on the new man. Well, how's that? You know, what's the point there? Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. He that stole, steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may mend grace unto the hearers. Did you catch that? That's just not how we talk to church members. That's how you talk to your neighbor, your co-worker, your relatives, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed on the day of redemption. How can you grieve? How can a church member possibly grieve the Holy Spirit? After all, you're baptized church member, you're in church, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. How can a church member grieve the Holy Spirit? By not following Jesus. How good is a witness when somebody lies, cheats, and steals, and then say, "Yeah, I'd like to have you come to church with us." Destroys the witness, right? We know that. Follow me, I'll make you fisher of men. Follow me, I'll enable you. Follow me, we labor with him. Follow me, he'll give us power. He'll give us the Holy Spirit. How do you get that power? By putting on Jesus Christ. You literally become a vessel that he can use. Do you think Paul, after he was saved, was the cussinest, lyingest, cheatinest person to ever walk the face of the earth? No. He was exhibiting Jesus Christ in his life. Stephen was exhibiting Jesus Christ in his life. Peter and the brethren were told that we know they have been with Jesus. They're ignorant, unlearned men, but we can tell they've been with Jesus. When we follow Jesus and we put all this stuff aside and just let him work through us, he can do amazing things with us. He can do amazing things with us. No, not everybody's going to accept the word. Not everybody accepted Jesus' word. So if they hated me, they'll hate you. But people will be receptive. It'll make all the difference in the world to you and to them. Just simply follow Jesus. And having done that, you'll discover yourself becoming a fisher of men. You can't serve God and not be a fisher of men. We've got pastors who don't witness. We've had pastors who have been handed the name and address and a phone number of a person that needed to be visited and just didn't have the time to do it. Just didn't get around to doing it. Are they following Jesus? No. Now, if the pastors are like that, what do you think happens to the church membership? Begins to explain while attendance begins to wane. By the way, we had a first-time visitor in services Wednesday night. She came in, patted Brother Tim on the shoulder, sat down. After services, Brother Roger says, "That's the lady I gave a Bible to." Turns out, Brother Tim and Brother Roger have both been working with the lady, and she works at Finn's. Pray for her. Did you have a big Bible study with her, brother, before she came to church? No. Well, how in the world did she come to church then?
Kept asking her, kept telling her I missed her in services.
You mean that was it?
That was it. I asked her if she'd been reading the
I'm giving her tracts.
Yeah. And Tip is the tract, by the way. Don't just give these waitresses or waiters a tract without a tip in it.
Yeah. It's a Stronda.
This word endued that you've been talking about, when you look that up, it literally means to be invested in the clothing that
yeah.
you're putting on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's more than, and don't get me wrong, we should be courteous to people. We should not be rude jerks, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But saying please and thank you to people doesn't save anybody.
Yeah.
Unless you preach the gospel to them, unless you're invested in Jesus Christ and in his word, no one will be saved. No one will want to know Jesus. We can be, religious people are very nice.
Mm-hmm.
They're very courteous. I don't know how many of you have had word Mormon people, but they're very nice people.
Sure.
But that doesn't save anybody. We need to not only talk like Jesus, but we need to behave like Jesus and be invested in his word. And I'll tell you, the biggest thing for me, I know that some people struggle with memorizing verses and memorizing where verses are found. But some of the best opportunities that I've had to witness to people have been when they have said to me something that they thought the Bible said or referred to something that I knew was in Scripture, and I could literally turn to that Scripture or quote that Scripture to them, and that opens up a huge door of opportunity. You have to be invested. I mean, I have failed so many times in witnessing, but if you're not invested in the Lord and his work, it's more than just going to church and wearing your nice dress and your tie and making sure everybody's hair is nice and saying please and thank you to people. We have to be invested in it and invested in the Lord's work.
How invested was Jesus?
He gave it all.
Not only did he give his life, he led his physical body service. Just drained. For what point? Getting the gospel across. Look at John chapter 4. Give you an example here of how invested Jesus was. Look at verse number 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, now, you know, the Cajun woman at the well, she's just left to tell everybody in Samaria. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one another, has any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, or life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap wherein ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Did you notice verse 39? How many of the disciples and apostles reached people in Samaria? Who was reaching people in Samaria? This woman who was simply sharing what she knew of Jesus. Says, I sent you to reap where you bestowed no labor. Other men labored and you've entered into their labors. He wasn't eating. What was his focus? Witnessing. 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 Just simply open our mouths. Let's all, you know, once we start following Jesus,
we've put on Christ. You won't be able to resist talking to people about the Lord. You'll look for opportunities. You'll be kind, but not for kindness' sake alone. You'll be cognizant of your testimony in working with this people. It's not rocket science. It's just simple. Sharing what God has done for you. And He's enabled us to do it. We got power. Sister Rhonda mentioned that one of her most effective ways of witnessing is somebody, you know, asking her, talking about the Bible. She recalls Scripture. Well, guess what the Holy Spirit's doing as comforter? Bringing to remembrance. Now, no offense to Sister Rhonda, but I don't think she walks around as the most, you know, remembering all the verses in the whole Bible. But how many of us have been able to, at those crucial moments, go, wow, that verse came out of nowhere, and it applies right here. That's what Sister Rhonda is getting to. Isn't that what you're referring to? Where's that at? That's the Holy Spirit working with us, because we're being a vessel that He can work with. Brother John.
Talking to somebody, there's a lot of chances where you can redirect to the Word if you're paying attention and you're trying to get the Word across genuinely. And yes, there's been quite a few times where I remember Scripture that I didn't even know I read. But like I said, if we're concerned through the heart, you're talking to somebody, then you're waiting for them to say something so you can get the Word in there. But if you don't try and you just do it like halfway or whatever, and your heart's not in it, then you're not going to be able to talk to them. And you'll find that little, God's going to give you the chance to give the Word.
That's it. That's it. All we got to do is put on Jesus and then open our mouths. Be bold enough to just open our mouths. And tomorrow we'll look at that. Even Paul had that issue. Paul, the great apostle, the great witness, probably responsible for more souls being saved than maybe anyone else outside of Jesus himself. But he had a battle with his flesh, just like we do. And he said, pray that I can speak boldly. That's where our fight's at. We just need to do it. Push through our comfort zone and follow. Let's stand and ask a blessing on the refreshments.